Cafetín de Buenos Aires. A journey of conversations and music through the world of Argentine tango.
De chiquilín te miraba de afuera.
Welcome back to our studio at Campus 103.7. This is Karen Califf-Schwirup. This is Cafetín de Buenos Aires. As always, happy to be in our third season of this international traveling, international voyage around the world of Argentine tango, the music, the stars, the dancing, obviously, and a lot of information that I learn and I share with you about the history of Argentine tango and the characters, the personalities, the cultural icons that it has left with us and it leaves to this day. Today, I call this episode "Films About Tango," because as other cultural phenomena, tango, Argentine tango, has inspired also films ranging from Hollywood to small artistic movies. The film industry has had a fascination with Argentine tango from the very beginning. We can mention innumerable silent movies from Europe before the First World War that incorporated some kind of initial basic tango, and also then obviously in the United States. Moving to Hollywood, where tango dancing and tango music moved there. And obviously, we are not forgetting the films that we've mentioned several times in our seasons, the film The Argentinian Made films, the silent ones, where you had the beautiful orchestras, even Juan D'Arienzo himself, who used to accompany silent movies with their tango orchestra. And then, obviously, films with sound, including those featuring Carlos Gardel and many, many other tango stars. Today, I've selected just a few to talk about, and we're going to come mostly into the modern age, because tango has still remained a very popular subject, a very popular topic for films. And also, we have to say, it's associations. So the associations with Argentina of the 20th century, so slightly on the political level as well. And also its associations with romance, with passion, with relationships that were given highlight in the 90s when Argentine tango started its revival, especially after shows in Paris and the Broadway. We are listening to a little opening of the film Quiero Ser Bataclana, 1941. It's about a showgirl who would like to become a Bataclana, a vedette, and it stars Nini Marshall.
Me aconsejan y se quejan, pero yo me saldré día y algún día triunfaré. Y se queja, pero yo me saldré con la mía y algún día triunfaré.
So that was the film Quiero Ser Bataclana, as we said, 1941. That featured a very, very soon to be famous at the time, Nini Marshall, an actress, a comedy actress with great, great talent of show business in Argentina, who was playing a girl from the country who goes down with a troupe of other girls who would like to become showgirls, vedette, to work in these revues in the big city of Buenos Aires, to be there on stage. The film is a very fond, let's say, tribute to the world of dancers, of the Broadway style productions, with their choreographer, with the dance lessons, with a bit of comedy. Obviously, around the characters thrown in, Miss Marshall was a very, very, very good at playing this comedic part. And interestingly, Juan D'Arienzo and his orchestra, so one of the famous big four orchestras, was actually playing the music during the film and featuring also in the film. Just a little note about this film. The name features the word Bataclana, which we've discussed here in the studio, even with our engineer Mark Ajus, because it's a strange word. We've heard it, unfortunately, coming up to 10 years soon, the concert hall in Paris called Le Bataclan. We've now associated with the terrorist attack in that concert hall, but the word Bataclan or Bataclana, obviously for a female, refers to a fictitious place, a fictitious country, coming from an old operetta, very famous in its time, an operetta of Offenbach that featured this Chinese sort of imaginary country called the Bataclan, and with a bit, it's a comedy tale in a way, with a bit of a tale of errors, as the operettas were. So, interesting note on that movie. And moving on, almost 100 years from then, we come to Netflix, because that is what we watch nowadays. It's where movies are made, and it actually also features tango quite a lot in scenes, especially scenes shot in, obviously, in Argentina or in Paris. As we know, Paris is the also the 20th century home, adopted home of Argentine tango. And having a series such as Emily in Paris, most of the younger maybe audience will know that, will be following its fourth season. But going back a couple of episodes, there is actually a scene. I think it could not be left out, because any series shot in Paris needs a scene on the Seine, on the banks of the river, in the evening, with someone dancing tango to a bandoneon that's maybe not visible in the scene, or maybe someone who's actually playing on the side of the river. And there is such a scene in Emily in Paris in season 3, episode 10, called the Charade. And the tango on the scene, the tango on the Seine scene is actually to the music of the song Mango Tango by the composer Werner Kautz. And here it is. Stay in Paris from the antics of Emily and her friends in modern day Paris. We go back just a few years to 1996, when as we know there was this revival of Argentine tango from Argentina into Europe, particularly first Paris and then New York, and there were some films at the time already, some artists thinking of putting tango into their films, or else actually featuring themselves in a semi-autobiographical commentary featuring Argentine tango. As we know, Argentine tango is used often as a sort of shade for the character's change in quests or the personality development, because it is so introspective, because there's so much self-awareness that comes out of tango. And this is one of the very good examples. It's called The Tango Lesson. It's a film from 1996 by the director Sally Potter, the British director Sally Potter. It is semi-autobiographical. It is about her adventures, let's say, in the world of Argentine tango. In the film, indeed, she is living in Paris. She is trying, as in real life, to write a screenplay for Hollywood, for her Hollywood agent, to write a film. She can't find inspiration. She's trying to write a film about fashion, but which also has drama in it. And of course, she's trying to write a good screenplay. And she is increasingly dissatisfied with her with her efforts. Everything seems to start going wrong. She can't even concentrate. Her apartment has trouble. It's not a very long film, but I would really recommend, because it's very well artistically done, but very very palatable, and you can actually assimilate a bit with the troubles of Sally Potter in this movie. At this point, of course, she falls in love. She finds out, and she falls in love with Argentine tango. And here is a little clip advertising the movie from 1996.
Do you work in the cinema?
Yes. Do you give tango lessons?
Yes. I always wanted to be in films.
I always wanted to be a dancer.
I want to know why we met. Nothing. You should do nothing when you dance. Just follow. Follow!
It's you who've been using me so that one day I might put you in a film and make you into a star. I've been following you in the tango, Pablo. But to make a film, you have to follow me. Are you ready?
And we're back in the studio. That was a little clip advertising the film The Tango Lesson from 96-97. As you noticed, it's quite an artistic film. There was no Hollywood presenter there advertising the film with some big voice, as we discussed here. It's a very good production that gives the idea of Argentine tango. It's about dancers, but also really about a personal voyage, a personal quest. It is about relationships, but it's also about really about learning about yourself. There's the writer's block of the director and the actress herself, she's in her own film, but it's also the block that she has in life. So I have to say, a very very interesting, little work of art. Just to go over the story of the film, Sally is trying to write this movie for Hollywood, which has to incorporate a murder, but also models, fashion, and the crime. She's definitely not getting any sort of inspiration for it. She doesn't think she can do a good job. And then, obviously, she meets the Argentine tango dancer. In the film, he is Pablo Verón. He plays himself. He is a very accomplished tango show and also tap dancer. Some wonderful scenes that bring to mind other films with Mikhail Baryshnikov and Gregory Hines that involve men who are very good dancers and really come out well on stage and on film. So anyway, back to the story. Sally meets Pablo in Paris. There is a subsequent romance of sorts, falling out, getting back together, a misunderstanding, a bit of passion, obviously, and all the power dynamics that are in tango and in filmmaking and in a personal relationship come together. And Pablo, who is interested in entering cinema. She is interested in opening her horizons and getting more inspiration for the movie. These things come together. So she forms a partnership eventually with Pablo on stage as well. This is the cinema, obviously. After a few lessons, she's good enough to be on stage, I wish. But and the film is in fact divided into sort of chapters, and each chapter is the next tango lesson. So at every lesson, she is learning moves, she is learning to dance, but also she's learning something more about herself. The intense relationship that eventually then develops midway through the film develops both on and off the dance floor, leading to conflicts that are related to the relationship, but also using the roles of leader and follower as a source of conflict, as well as obviously partnering up. So this leader and follower conflict is both evident in the tango and in the filmmaking process that they are trying to create, and also obviously in their relationship. The film explores, as we say, themes of romance, but also art, the challenges of creative collaboration, using the tango, the Argentine tango, as a metaphor for the push and pull of partnership. And here, indeed, to understand better, there's a clip of a milonga, so an evening, where Sally goes with Pablo, and she is actually asked to dance by a real dancer at the milonga, and therefore she's going to put to test all her lessons and her confidence. Of the film, so we're talking still about the tango lesson, 1996, with Sally Potter and Pablo Verón. Much of this film was shot in black and white, so it keeps a very distinct visual style and makes sure that you concentrate, obviously, on the contrasting black and white costumes, shoes of the dancers, and on their movements. In fact, it uses dance and movement really to tell the story, rather than relying heavily on dialogue. There is more action, let's say, within the studio, within the hall, or within the dance theater, than dialogue between the parties. There is a very interesting, for instance, scene besides this of the milonga, where Sally is actually asked to dance in a real scenario. There's a scene also where she is taking lessons from another two male dancers, plus Pablo. So there is a scene where they are actually dancing with three leaders and a follower, her, where she is getting better and better. But there's also this play on how relationships in tango and maybe outside can also be very fluid. So the follower is dancing one movement with one leader, one other dancer, and then another one comes in and takes her over, and then another one. So it's quite interesting dynamics, also personal dynamics, but also these power dynamics between the dancers and obviously between people. The film features also, besides small snips of music in milongas and while they are training, but it features some very, very iconic tango music. There's Carlos Gardel, there's Astor Piazzolla. They are also pieces of D'Arienzo. So they really go around the real music that is used by dancers of tango in social tango today. So any dancer, even a beginner, can recognize these iconic pieces. And here, indeed, let's listen to another song that features in this movie, and it is Milonga de Mis Amores by D'Arienzo. You're tuned in to Cafetín de Buenos Aires, a journey through tango on Campus 103.7. Back in the studio, we are talking today about films that have tango as their main focus. And I've chosen obviously a few. There are so many. We will have to split them up probably into more episodes. But in this episode, we're talking about two that have really struck me. The Tango Lesson, which I am talking about and describing you the ins and outs of all these power dynamics that come with this movie. It is a movie by Sally Potter. It's based on her own experiences. She plays herself in the movie. We've listened to D'Arienzo there with Milonga de Mis Amores, which is quite lively and bright, which is also another side of tango, as it is obviously a side of life. The power dynamics that are in tango are not necessarily always very passionate or very dramatic. They can be quite light. But of course, the central theme, as we said in this movie, is this conflict between the need to surrender in tango. So typically, it's the follower which has to follow the leader. So there is this dynamic that maybe at first sight does not look very equal, because one is leading and the other one has to follow. But in reality, is much more complex than that, because obviously the follower also sets the mood and the speed and the theme of the dancing, as Sally Potter tried to explain also, that as happens in life. So this is what she tries to explain in her movie, particularly between her role as a follower in the tango, in the dancing, and her role as a filmmaker who has a desire for full control over the movie that the filmmaker is making, but also full control over what's happening with the actors, etc., etc. So very good, a very good experiment in translating the dynamics of dancing into real life and vice versa. And as we said, this film also has very, very beautiful pieces of music. We have heard a few, and to leave on a high note, to leave the Tango Lesson and move on to another movie, here is Carlos Gardel. We could not have a episode about films and not have Carlos Gardel involved, and he is also in this film, and this is Mi Buenos Aires Querido, My Dear Buenos Aires.
Mi Buenos Aires Querido, cuando yo te vuelvo a ver, no habrá más pena ni olvido. De la calle en que nací, fue el serenatero de mis promesas de amor. Bajo su quieta lucecita yo la vi, a mi pebeta luminosa como un sol. Hoy que la suerte quiere que te vuelva a ver, ciudad porteña de mi único querer, oigo la queja de un bandoneón. Dentro de mi pecho pide rienda al corazón. Mi Buenos Aires, tierra florida, donde mi vida terminaré. Bajo tu reparo no hay desengaño. Vuelan los años y olvida el dolor. En caravana los recuerdos pasan con una estela dulce de emoción. Quiero que sepas que al evocarte se van las penas del corazón. La veretanita de mi calle de Arrabal, donde sonríe una muchachita en flor. Quiero de nuevo yo volver a contemplar aquellos ojos que acarician al mirar. En la cortada más maleva una canción, dice su ruego de coraje y de pasión. Una promesa y un suspirar borra una lágrima de pena aquel cantar. Mi Buenos Aires querido, cuando yo te vuelva a ver, no habrá más pena ni olvido.
And from the unforgettable Carlos Gardel there with his piece Mi Buenos Aires Querido from the film The Tango Lesson, we leave Paris and we move back to Buenos Aires, indeed, for another film that was also a product of the late 1990s and this resurgence of interest in Argentine tango all around the world. This time, it is a Buenos Aires-based writer-director who also tried to explain the world of the world in general, really, through the eyes of Argentine tango dancers and musicians. And besides the personal element, this time in this film there is also a political element. We now are in Argentina, it is the 90s, they have a different experience to Europe in the 90s. They have just gone in the late 90s from years of upheaval, political upheaval, back into normality and then back into other tensions. So very, very, years with a lot of things to explain that perhaps they could not explain clearly, and therefore they resorted to art and also to tango. The director in this film is the famous Carlos Saura. The film is Tango. It is 1998. It was also it is a film that was done on a higher level, let's say, of art, because it also featured Vittorio Storaro on cinematography. We know he is an award winner in Hollywood for several films, and this film itself also was nominated for the Oscar for Best Foreign Language Film. What is it about? So Carlos Saura here directs a troupe of actors on stage. So it is really a film within a film. So the main character, played by Miguel Ángel Solá, he's called Mario Suárez in the film, he is a middle-aged theatre director whose partner, his girlfriend, and also the lead dancer in his upcoming show, leaves him. So he is obviously lost. He has no show to do without a lead and no personal life. And here, obviously, we see again, like the tango lesson, this reflection of real life into the tango and vice versa. He decides to make a movie centered around tango instead of this whatever he was doing. So it will be a new musical movie with someone new. So a new actress, a new dancer, in this case, this character called Elena. And obviously, because this is Argentina and this is tango, it's not long before complications start to arise. As we said, he's going through a bad personal patch, and also this inspiration and the deadlines that he has with his producers to come up with this movie. And the first complication is this dancer, Elena, this new inspiration in his life, who also happens to have a complicated personal life of her own, because she is involved with the person who is actually financing his movie. So not a very good triangle to start off with, but which makes a lot of sense when you look at it through the eyes of the world of Argentine tango. As we said, this movie is backed by big names in the world of cinema, of cinematography, with Vittorio Storaro, but also with a very well-known composer, Lalo Schifrin, Argentinian-American, who has actually left us at the ripe old age of 93, very recently, in the spring of 2025. He is well known, he's best known, besides his innumerable soundtracks, but he is very well known, of course, for writing the signature tune of the movies of the Mission Impossible series. So that tune that everybody knows is written by Lalo Schifrin. So it's very nice that he also lent his hand to tango, to get his orchestra together and play tangos. And this movie is actually a lovely showpiece of his talent and his trying the tango genre. And here to start off, obviously we are a radio program, to start off this experience of the film Tango, so 1998 by Carlos Saura, we have the orchestra ensemble of Lalo Schifrin playing Tango del Atardecer.
Thank you.
And that was Tango dell'Atardecer, the Tango of Sunset, composed by Lalo Schifrin, as we said, a very, very important late now Hollywood Argentinian-American composer with several awards to his name, and a very nice tango indeed. We are in the film Tango from 1998 by Carlos Saura, and we left the characters a bit in a wild sunset, let's say, because there's a sort of triangle of relationships in the movie, and the director, the dancer, the financial producer are all trying to keep this these relationships going, but at the same time keeping the movie going on, because obviously there is an investment and there are these financial backers. Of course, he put in politics. Carlos Saura also put in the Argentinian political scene because there are also scenes where the producers are disapproving of certain dance sequences that he would like to put into his musical movie, which reflect on the dark years of Argentine political history. So from the dancing and the costumes and the type of movements, they realize that he is criticizing or bringing to mind these dark years. And of course, stage theater producers do not really like anything that might risk the profits and the popularity of their production. So interesting dynamics there, as we saw the power dynamics between leader, follower, choreographer, dancer, also in the Tango Lesson, the other film, between dancers. But these movies also show, of course, the power dynamics between different parts of society. The ones giving the money, the artists who are trying to make a work of art, but also a living, and also the personal relationships, the complicated ones that come in the way. And here we go to another composition by Lalo Schifrin for this movie, and this is Tango para Percusión. An original composition by Lalo Schifrin there for the soundtrack of the film Tango, 1998. There he was really evocating the drums, the African origins of tango. Quite a unique piece. The film we're talking about, this film of Carlos Saura, does also incorporate a version of a trio dancing together on stage. Again, these power dynamics between perhaps more, not just one leader and a follower, but more people in one dance. And this, of course, reflecting, as we said, all the complications of living in Argentina. And we'll listen to more music from this wonderful soundtrack of the film Tango. This time we'll go back to the classics. So you are listening to Corazón de Oro in the background, the lovely waltz penned by Canaro, Francisco Canaro and Blanco. We will have more information about Francisco Canaro in another episode. We do have to, this film I can recommend highly. This film and the other film, the Tango Lesson, because they really explain, perhaps to the eyes of an artist, which is always much clearer, the dynamics and the way that tango brings out all these characteristics of the dancers and the musicians who are linked to it. That brings us to the end of this episode, where I tried to be inspired about these two films about tango and about the life of tango, but also, as you saw, much more than that. Definitely two films to look up and to watch. They are readily available on all on social platforms as well. Nothing much left to say, except I would like to introduce, of course, our last song of the program that will close the program and this episode. It is also from the tango soundtrack, so it's always the orchestra ensemble of Lalo Schifrin. This time, however, it is a classic. It's Quejas de Bandoneón by Juan de Dios Filiberto. So he goes also back to the classics of Argentine tango. And with that, I thank you for following. I thank Marco Juice for the sound support. And this is Karen Mikhalev-Schwirep saying ciao.